Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 151st episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on August 8th, 2021. If my voice sounds deeper than usual, it's because I involuntarily gargled a lot of salt water today.
Lucas just got salt water plastered onto the back of his throat on one of these waves that me and him hit. It's pretty wild.
Lucas deep throated the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, yeah. Mm. Involuntarily.
Wasn't even kind the enough ocean. To stay that far in when it finished, because I could definitely taste all of that in my mouth. Yeah. Ugh.
Didn't shoot straight down the throat. It was coating. Yeah. The ocean grabbed the back of Lucas's head. It was game over.
Rough.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Lucas touched the Pacific Ocean for the first time. Maybe that could be a Patreon exclusive, the video of Lucas touching the ocean for the very first time. Yeah. The Pacific Ocean, I should specify. You did get sick on an Atlantic Ocean whale tour.
Mm-hmm. I got some spray from that one. I touched that ocean.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, but if you didn't go to the beach, you didn't really touch the water, huh?
No, I was on the whaling boat, and then, like, you know, when you start to get seasick, I'm gonna go above deck, get a little bit of air, see if that helps with everything. It did for a little bit. Not enough, though.
What if the vomit that you threw up into the Atlantic Ocean eventually, due to currents, moved its way south of, you know, South Africa, back up the West Coast, and then you met back up with it in California.
It would take about
8 or 9 years to do that.
I pictured Lucas's vomit traveling through the Panama Canal.
Right?
Just like going through the lock system, like lifting it up, go, lift it up, go. And then, working its way back up the West Coast.
The attendants, like, hey, we're really not supposed to allow any unapproved biological material through. My vomit just slips at $500.
Wow. Your vomit's pretty bougie, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. So you didn't touch the Atlantic Ocean, then, is what we're learning.
Well, I mean, I felt the Atlantic Ocean water. I know the feel.
I don't know if that counts.
So you've never been to, like, a beach in, like, Florida or...
I've been to the Gulf. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Been to the Gulf, but...
I don't remember... I know we had a big argument about this a couple weeks ago. I don't remember what my stance was on if, like,
that's how you
seas
know.
And oceans.
That's how you know that you feel really strongly is when you can't remember your stance.
I think
you were pretty loose on the definition of what an ocean was.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. I think you were like, Gulf of Mexico, 100%. Like, Hudson Bay, absolutely. Like, Mediterranean Sea, totally an ocean. It was just like, whoa. Just shooting from the hip. So.
Oh, yeah. No, my stance on what is an ocean is, I know. I can tell. I can tell an ocean when I see it.
Yep. Yeah.
And that man who knows an ocean when he sees it is Stand user Andrew Clark. Stand name, Songs for the Deaf.
I think we already did this one.
Well, we're doing it again.
One of the first ones that we did. You called my stand Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, now you're on Songs of the Deaf, the album.
Yeah.
That works. Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age was their first album.
Really?
So are we just going to work our way through the discography?
I mean, as long as it keeps being appropriate for, like, you know, what would your ghosty soul manifestation look like, then yeah, definitely.
Hmm. What does a ghosty soul manifestation look like if it is represented by Songs for the Deaf?
You know it when you see it.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
It looks a lot like Ghost Water, which we had a whole 15-minute riff on while we were in Malibu.
And that man who did that riffing in Malibu, stand user Ryan Holtz, stand name, Good For You.
Oh, yeah. It's Olivia Rodrigo's best song, At Me. Go ahead and at me.
I mean,
the rest of her stuff ranges from mediocre to palatable. That one's a bit of a bop, but it's just ripping off Paramore.
I was so just gonna say, it's good. Like I like Good For You, but I like Misery Business. Like it's
It's kind of an homage. Like it's so explicit that it's like I don't think she's trying to hide it.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's like, Paramore is my favorite band, and I really liked their music. Right.
Exactly. It's a little less whiny. It's more fun. It's got a guitar. Like all the rest of it, it just comes off a little bit. Yeah, it's not my vibe.
Yeah.
So.
And then last but not least, I am stand user Lucas DeRider. My stand name is Demon Days. I think that's the one I went with last time. Not sure. Get in the comments and let us know.
I was thinking it was going to be Chibo the Sea Lion.
Does Chibo have an album or is a musician have a song?
Yeah, Chibo's fucking huge. Ooh. On SoundCloud.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Chibo's blowing up, man. He's next, as he puts it. No, look, me, dude, I'm next. I'm next, man.
That music video he dropped where he just kind of waddles onto the middle of a big rock and then flops down, goes full limp.
Yeah, just literally gives up on life.
And then some fucking asshole walks on the rocks within like 20 feet of him, and then starts whistling like they're a dog. Like, that'll get him closer, but then, no, that just scares him off.
He wasn't scared, he was just like, fuck this shit, this dude doesn't have any pitch, and just, like, got the fuck out of there.
Chibo out. You can't roll with Chibo. You can't roll with Chibo's crew.
Yeah, that dude was trying to roll up on Chibo, and Chibo was like, dude, I know I'm next. I know I'm the next big thing, and you're trying to get in before I hit big, but I see right through you, man.
So, I got an un-Chibo-related question.
Yes. Or an
unrelated-to-Chibo question. You mentioned Demon Days, album from Gorillaz.
Yeah.
There's, like, 7 or 8 Gorillaz albums, and I don't know if anyone's heard a single song that wasn't on the first two, besides you, maybe. Like, because the songs from the first two Gorillaz albums, Demon Days and Gorillaz, are on the radio all the time. And I've never heard a Gorillaz song from their other, like, 5 albums on the radio.
I mean,
It looks like Rhinestone Eyes.
Pretty popular.
Plastic Beach.
I,
On Melancholy Hill, Plastic Beach.
Yep.
Definitely, I would say the top 12 songs on Google, 9 of them are on Demon Days or Gorillaz, and then 2 of them are on Plastic Beach, and then 1 is from the Now, and then all the other albums, none of them.
See,
I've
heard On Melancholy Hill, but like I watched it on YouTube. I watched the music video.
Yeah,
I've never heard it on the radio.
I think I only know Feel Good Inc., Clint Eastwood, and Dare. Am I a bad person?
No, you're fine.
I don't even think I know Dare.
Oh, really?
I
think it might have been on some, like, rhythm game that I played or something to know.
If you heard the chorus, I think you would recognize it.
Okay.
Do it, Lucas! Regale us!
Come here, come here, come here, come here.
Oh, yeah, I do know that one.
Come here,
come here.
Each day!
Oh.
Yeah, no, I definitely know that one.
You got the question!
Yeah. So, and that was not a dig on Gorillaz. I like Gorillaz as much.
It was a bit of a dig.
No, it wasn't. I was thinking about it the other day. Like, the rest of their music isn't played very often, and I feel like most people don't know it. But,
you like it.
Yeah.
It's just not popular.
Yeah, exactly. Like
it's
everything
not
else.
Consumable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They made that one music video in VR.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it was like a 360. I remember I watched that.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was kind of an interesting concept.
Definitely the appeal and the conceit there. Gorillaz is a tough band just because of their conceit. They're not able to tour all the time, really. So how do they fit into the modern music industry?
And they're so high concept that they had to make their albums on fucking GarageBand.
That's how high concept
they
get. They could just wear like a dead mouse, like of their characters, right?
Get impersonators out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like it's not like there is a band and each one of them represents one of the characters. It's just two guys that basically created a comic book and then made a score to it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the characters are, just stand-ins. Like the Blue Man Group or something.
Yeah, no, just random fucking dudes.
Like dancing
It's the goddamn Disney characters.
Yeah, they could figure it out.
We should...
They could figure out a concept. Gorillaz, are you kidding me? They could figure something out to tour.
Get Chris from Chris and Jack and Merry Christmas into the Gorillaz. Come on.
Wow, giving a shout. Those two things are on equal footing. Chris and Jack, like 500,000 subscribers, you know, a bunch of videos with 1,000,000+ views. And Merry Chris Smith, which might have, what, a couple thousand subscribers, and most of his views get, like, a few hundred views. Poor Chris Smith. When you form a comedy duo with Sokka, you're in for a bit of a rough time. Even though I would argue that I generally find him to be
the funniest,
the funnier of the two. I think mostly because Jack DeSena plays the straight guy more often,
mm-hmm.
but his physical comedy is fucking impressive.
Yeah,
the marshmallow in the cup video.
really, I saw that. Really got me. I liked the guy who's skydiving. Like he chooses to propose while skydiving and he loses the ring, like just miming that. He's fucking really talented. There's a reason he was like, I'm guessing the Blue Man Group is like the highest level of like, physical comedy.
I forgot that he was in the Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
I know that Lucas just said it, but it didn't register. I like had no idea what he meant until just now.
That's Holy literally shit. His claim to fame. Like, that's his Sokka.
So he was in the Blue Man Group. Just a faceless, nameless stand-in performer.
He's in a Blue Man Group. Like, there's dozens around the U.S. Like, probably around the world, honestly.
Holy shit. The Blue Man Group might as well just be wearing, like, helmets and masks.
Yeah. Not.
They don't speak.
The helmet and mask man group doesn't have quite the same ring to it, though.
They gotta be blue. Blue helmets and masks.
Fair.
Arrested Development flashbacks.
Yeah.
I blew myself.
I was about to say I should rewatch that show, but...
Yeah. You watched it for the first time, like, well after...
Right. Like, our senior year of college. Era. I watched the four seasons, I think.
Yeah, you already had the experience of like, some of this is kind of...
Right.
Yeah. Some of this probably could have been done a little better, but, you know. The problem is that it's always funny. Right? Like, it's not cheap shots.
Right.
They are still well-crafted, but jokes that didn't age super well.
And it's still always in the spirit of, look at these idiots, look at these rich idiots who don't deserve their money.
Yeah. They're the only time that the show punches down is when they're talking about, people who kind of deserve it for the most part. Or are you thinking of Bland Anne?
That was kind of weird.
It's funny. It's really funny, though. They are just mercilessly bullying a high school girl. But, like, it is really funny, just that concept. Because it is kind of, they're bad people.
Yep.
Like, that is the joke, is that they're able to be so cruel to... Just this 16-year-old high school girl.
But then also, Anne really sucks.
She is her? Really her? Oh, yeah.
Speaking of things that we can't believe, news of the week! Blizzard President J. Allen Brack, who was mentioned by name in California's lawsuit against the company and accused of failing to deal with his company's sexist culture, has resigned.
He's been canceled. It's unfair.
Was he a perpetrator at all, or was he just kind of like the buck needed to stop there and it didn't?
I think within the context of the lawsuit, it was mentioned as he should have taken action to stop it. I don't know if he did any kind of perpetration, but with culture like this, you know, if there's not tacit kind of approval from the top, it's maybe they're the one instigating also. And I know this is trite. I know this is petty. I know this is probably not a great thing. Dude looks like he'd be a problem in the workplace.
I could see, like, the difference is that he could just be a weak leader. Mm-hmm. Like, someone who just, like, worked his way up to his position by being a good employee.
Right.
And just never had the leadership skills to be able to take charge. And if he's not explicitly named, then it's still horrible. Like, you're still allowing abuse to be perpetrated, like, on your watch. Like, it's really bad. But it is, I guess, a different level than being an actual perpetrator of sexual assault harassment. I don't know.
It's one of those things, though, where, like, I mean, for all we know, he could have been one of the perpetrators. But even if he wasn't, it sounds like it was so ubiquitous at this company that there's no way he didn't know. And so being a CEO that is aware of how sexist your company is and not stopping it makes you just as responsible.
Right. But it's like the difference between, in Saving Private Ryan, the guy on the staircase who was too weak to go save his friend versus the German stabbing him and killing him. Like, it's like they are both bad and they both deserve a lot of fault, but there is, I guess, a level there.
Yeah, and I'm not going to, like, if I see him on the street, I'm not going to, like, point at him and say, this is the rapist. This is the
officer. Yeah. I would, for my own sake, I was just curious because from what I've heard, there hasn't been any, like, perpetrators that have really faced any consequences so far.
Yeah, and I feel I don't know, Activision Blizzard, very clearly a shit company. I feel like if somebody was called out by name as being a perpetrator, the good PR move, at least, would be to fire them, to not let them resign, but...
I don't know if anyone was named, specifically.
Still should. People should face... investigation should lead to names that then those people end up facing out. Here's a thing that I saw that I had never thought of before, and I'm sure it's out there, and, like, I'm not even going to be that unique when you guys are going to be like, corporations are people.
We all
know this. Yeah. This is all just fact.
Legally, yes.
Yeah. Corporations are human beings, and they have the same rights as a human being.
That's why they're called that. Corporations. Yeah.
Right. So, if you're a conservative, you believe corporations are people. If you're a conservative, you believe in the death penalty. If corporations do bad enough shit, shouldn't they get the death penalty?
No, they're pro-life, Ryan.
I'm just saying.
You can't,
like,
abort,
honestly,
a company.
I don't want to abort the company. I want to kill it.
Yeah.
I want the government to give a lethal injection to a corporation that did bad enough things.
Ooh, but what if,
that they just don't deserve to exist anymore.
But what if it's a white corporation, Ryan?
Ooh. Look, man, I had never, that had never really occurred to me before, because once again, it's like our, you know, the hegemony, when it's not challenged, sometimes nothing occurs to you. But someone tweeted and they were just like, wait, why wouldn't conservatives be pro death penalty for corporations that overstep, like, their bounds by such an extent that, they need to die?
Why can't corporations, like,
No, why can't corporations? Like, it is a thing. Like, companies can.
Like the government?
I think I've heard of companies being ordered to dissolve by the federal government, but it's not like in criminal law cases. It's not like a judge says, "I find you guilty of manslaughter. You have to dissolve yourself." It's like, you know, being found guilty of fraud.
Yeah,
and,
like, some level of fraud. Yeah, I guess I've heard it from the SEC.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll usually say, like, this company needs to dissolve. But they're always, like, shell bullshit companies.
I mean,
they're not they're not Activision Blizzard where they make a product mm-hmm. and then like blah blah blah. Like they're just investment bullshit. Like they just are hedge funds and shit. So it's like dissolve this hedge fund versus like, no, you put lead in your toys willingly and killed 23 children. Your company doesn't get to exist anymore. We're literally going to shut it down. And like, yeah, I'm sure in the same way of like cancel culture, like a lot of companies get the death penalty by having such bad press that no one, you know, uses them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the government to like step in and fucking just execute them by firing squad.
So I think with corporations, I don't have a extremely solid grasp on this, but individual liability doesn't apply to the people that work in a corporation. It applies to the corporation itself. But when it comes to criminal matters, I think they look past that and do go after the people. So if there was a
which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
Let's do both.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying that, like, if, you know, a toy company put lead in their toys and it killed 23 kids, the judge would not go after the corporation. They would launch an investigation and find the individuals responsible for it.
The scapegoats.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, like, make a judgment on, like, if that's right or wrong or who's being... Yeah. But, like,
no, people, I definitely
yeah, people too, can yeah. go to prison and people can pay fines when that happens. And right. sometimes they'll order the corporation to pay a fine as well. But, like, yeah, when it comes down to financial matters, that's on the corporation. Criminal, though, different.
Yeah.
Kill them both.
Maybe
root and stem.
Oh, God. Maybe Activision Blizzard will be killed by its investors, which are suing the company basically on the grounds that they weren't informed about the company's potentially unlawful level of sexual harassment.
That is a weird thing that you do have to inform your shareholders of everything.
You had a fiduciary duty to report the rampant sexual harassment
to your because investors.
Because now our stock prices are tanking. Oh, our portfolios are going down.
Can you imagine in an earnings call? It's like, and as you can see, profits were up 2.3%. That beat the market average by over 1%, and it beat our own estimations by 0.5%. Also, Jerry got a little touchy-feely in the work break room the other week, so...
Do with that what you will. Like, we're not going to tell you what to do, obviously, but, you know.
Mm.
Turns out...
This could blow up.
A lot of our writers have a lot of bad opinions on women.
Yeah. Oh. So, you know, we got a call, like, thought we'd let you all know, like, Ronan Farrow is writing an article about us. We don't know what it's about, but I think you can probably guess, so.
You know what the romance is all about.
Yeah. He'll take us down. We won't exist anymore.
Yeah, so, this is an ongoing story that is gonna update a lot, There are other news items relating to all this besides what we mentioned here, but it's not a great situation, not a great company, and yeah, hope the people at the bottom get through this okay, maybe find better places to work, and yeah, hope the people at the top and the perpetrators, although I imagine there's a lot of overlap in that Venn diagram, are held accountable, and yeah, can't hurt anyone else. You guys ready for some weird Pokemon bullshit?
Oh, we figured out that there's no dolphin Pokemon.
Yeah, huh. Wait,
no way.
There's a mermaid Pokemon. Well,
not a dolphin.
Yeah, definitely not a dolphin.
Yeah, no dolphin.
Are there any dolphin Pokemon? Face it, there is no dolphin Pokemon. No one is complaining about not having a camel, jellyfish, or whale Pokemon.
There are a couple jellyfish Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, there's a whale Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the...
There's a camel Pokemon named Camerupt.
I think that's what they're saying, maybe, is that, like, it's dumb that there isn't a dolphin Pokemon, because there's all these other random animals.
Oh, there's a level of irony there. I see.
I think. I can't tell.
Yeah.
Gorbis. Yeah, is that the mermaid thing? I wouldn't
say
that's a dolphin. It looks like halfway dolphin, halfway
mermaid.
It's like
a mermaid. Shrimp. It's got like a little pointy shrimp nose.
No, the mermaid.
And like eyelash, like sexy eyelashes.
No, it's yeah. Wearing, it's wearing shells on its boobs.
Yeah.
Like a bra.
Yeah. And it's 5'11".
Ooh, damn. Queen, get it.
Yeah. It's tall. Gorbis needs to suit up for the Seattle Storm. Play for the women women's Olympic team.
It's
okay, so the
bigger than Charizard.
Charizard's short, yeah.
Yeah, isn't Charizard like 5'2 or some shit?
Short king,
wait,
yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No, not in like the anime though, right?
In the anime it fluctuates. It depends on the Charizard.
Okay. Yeah, Charizard that's height, right. 5'7". 200 pounds.
What? How is he flying?
A chonky boy? 200 pounds? He's a fucking dragon!
Wow.
He looks like he should weigh like 900 pounds.
Not if he's 5'7". You gotta scale it. He's not a 12-foot tall. Although 12-foot's still pretty small for a dragon. When I picture a dragon, I'm definitely thinking like dinosaur size.
This is Smaugian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Primarina was the mermaid Pokemon I was thinking of. Also 5'11".
They just doing the Tinder joke for all these Pokemon.
What was the name of it?
Primarina?
Yes. Now I wonder if...
That's not a fucking dolphin. That's a seal. It's like a sea lion. And also a woman. It's like a mermaid woman seal.
Yeah, I got sea lion and dolphin confused. I apologize.
Primarina's gender ratio is 87.5% male.
Yeah.
So... Mm-hmm. Probably not a woman. Almost always male, apparently.
Nah.
Definitely pretty feminine, mm-hmm. But nothing wrong with that.
No. Femme-coded Pokemon. Mm. Speaking of Pokemon, the makers of the hot new MOBA, Pokemon Unite, I think this is pronounced Timi? Timi? I'm not sure. Group Studio said on Twitter that straight and gay rights are equally important, which led to the Pokemon Company proper saying gay rights.
Straight lives matter.
Yeah, the straights are revolting.
Why does it seem like if you're in charge of a social media account, you are either on the ball 24/7 running at an almost mechanical level of precision and social awareness, or you're some dude on the team's fucking nephew? There's no in between.
Yeah. I don't know. Dumb. What people are thinking. Jesus. When they go on social media.
When players are right, I don't see any need to defend. Can you say gay rights? Why? Rights of heterosexual players are equally important.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, the last line in that sentence, because they're like, oh, that's disappointing. Like, oh, yeah. Fine. Like, do you think gay people are disappointed by being treated equally? Come on. That has big, I'm not a sexist because I punch women energy.
No, it's literally all lives matter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's literally the exact same concept. If you happen to see some inappropriate remarks by me, here's what happened. I meant to say everyone is equal, cause, COZ, I know how hard we have to fight to achieve it, but I screwed up in the expression.
That's not even remotely close to what you said.
No.
It's not quite the opposite.
I meant to say everyone is equal because I know how hard we have to fight to achieve it. If you know how hard we have to fight to achieve it, then you would know...
That's
why you need to say gay rights, and you don't have to say
straight
rights. Dude,
I believe
rights.
In it so much that I won't even say it out loud.
That's contradictory, and are you saying now that like you didn't say it before because gay people already have equality? Which, not true. At all. Like, Fuck off.
He's saying we have to fight so hard. Yeah. So, like, yeah, if he's maintaining the logic of his first tweet, which, yeah, he's just abandoning, then, yeah, he's saying basically, no, like, if, yeah, you're right. If he were to maintain his logic, then he is saying that, yeah, gay people are now equal, and now he just needs to fight to maintain and make sure that both people, like, both groups of people get equal shout-outs because we're all perfectly balanced, and if I dare say gay rights, then gay people have more rights than straight people.
Like, guy on the Pokemon Unite team is like, man, you know, if gays ever have more rights than straights, we gotta take those away. We gotta balance it out, apparently.
But that's a very common thing with, yeah, like, affirmative action and stuff like that. Like, oh, we went too far. Now it's easier to be a minority. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck off.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Feels bad, man.
Mm.
What if he just meant that there was a proportional number of rights given to the gay population? And so gay people have 3.5% of the rights as straight people because they're 3.5% of the population.
Right. So per capita,
yeah,
they're getting equal rights.
Yeah. In the util measurement that is rights.
Every gay person gets 3.5% rights. Mm-hmm. Every straight person gets 96.5% rights. Yep.
Which,
that sounds about right.
It is so weird to me that this has come from anything even loosely Pokemon affiliated, which has done a scary good job of being just factory made inclusive, or trying to be at this point. It's weird. It's weird, and I know a lot of other companies like might just kind of sweep this under the rug or handle things internally. There might be genuine consequences from the Pokemon company of all people for this. I don't know. I hope there are.
Same, man.
Are there consequences for an entire team of people getting norovirus on set?
It was Giardia.
Giardia, I apologize.
It was actually Beaver Fever.
Okay.
What if I told you he wasn't the great that a whole country could fail to protect its greatest natural resource? What if I told you a show shit the bed so hard they had to cancel it? Ultimate Slip and Slide is dead at NBC.
No.
A Giardia outbreak and on the set literally killed the show.
What could have
they
been?
They shat so hard.
Oh.
That they couldn't make it anymore.
Oh, now we figure out that corporations can die of natural causes.
Of Giardia. Yeah.
Yeah, no, if we give Activision Blizzard, like, Ebola, it might just die.
A lot of times in when they make like a new reality show or insert show here, they will make up a production company specifically for that show.
Oh.
So yeah, there is a non-zero chance that a company did die of Beaver Fever. Which is pretty gold.
You know, we had fun talking about it, and I'm sure Bobby Moynihan and Ron Funches will get more work, so glad they made a paycheck for a little while at least.
I mean, that show is not going to get picked up for a second season. There's no show there.
Somebody said the same thing about Wipeout at one point. Somebody said the same thing about American Ninja Warrior at one point.
But this seems kind of like it's just Wipeout, but only with one ride. Or whatever you call it, obstacle.
Huh.
Holy moly. Going on, I think, season 3 now. This is the third season. It's a show about mini golf.
Ron Riggle and Steph Curry's got a little bit more star power.
I don't think Steph Curry's on the show. I think he's just an EP.
Oh.
I think he sometimes comes in as like a guest host for a little while.
I thought,
to be like, oh, and then look at this.
I thought he was the guy. I've never seen the show.
No. Yeah, no, it's Rob Riggle and I don't know, one of those other guys that does like competition shows. Yeah.
Slides in when he has a free weekend. Moving on to the other category.
Oh, wait, TV.
Oh,
One more TV.
One more TV. I missed it.
It's depressing. I didn't put it in here because I'm sad. Fucking Trevor Moore died on Friday night. Like, he's one of the founders. Like, let's be honest. They all said as much. Like, all his co-founders. Like, he was the heart and soul of the Whitest Kids You Know. Like, he was kind of the creative driving force behind a sketch comedy show that a lot of people around, like, middle school and high school, like, it really affected a lot of our senses of humor and, like, then continued to do a lot of stuff for, like, Comedy Central and make kind of fantastic parody songs, like The Gays Got Married, My Computer Just Became Self-Aware, like, genuinely really good content. And he was 41 years old and just died tragically and suddenly of an unnamed accident at 41 years old. So it's just... I don't know. It was a weird one for me.
Awful.
Like, I'm really reeling from it because it just really came so out of left field.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
he seemed like one of those guys that, like, you just check in on once a year and be like, oh shit, I'm glad he's doing some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And, like, I don't know. I get personally and in friend groups wanting to know more about how he passed away because he was a pretty public and beloved dude. Don't turn this into an internet sleuth thing. That's really disrespectful, please.
Yeah, it's already happened. They're already
pretty
deep into that, so.
Fuck. Well.
Yeah.
All right. That's a shame.
But he did tweet on July 8th, which is crazy. It was almost a month before he died, that, like, when I die, I want my obituary to read, like, local sex pot passes away or something. Like, it was very weird. It was almost exactly a month before he died, so. Yeah.
That's how we should have opened this.
Local sex pot. Trevor Moore. Dies at 41.
Oh.
It's fucking wild.
Going out in peak sex pot years. Good for him.
Yep.
Yeah. So, this is a weird one in the other category. I find it deeply hilarious, though, so I threw it in here. A lead writer on the third Digimon series is apparently pretty alt-right now, and people found out about it through an anniversary stage play in which the characters fight political correctness and cancel culture.
Damn.
So then they started, like, digging more, and they found...
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Like...
A stage show? What the... I don't understand what's happening here.
Oh, so it's, like, stage show, but, like, they got some of the original voice actors together, and, like, we're gonna read a scene.
So it was, like, table
in
reading?
Character. Pretty much. A little more dramatized than that, but pretty much. And then it was broadcast, and I think it's still live in places, and that's fucked up. But yeah, they dug into this, and they found out that this lead writer, who I'm not going to name because he doesn't need more attention, pretty into, like, coronavirus truther stuff and 9/11 truther stuff, and yeah, just concerning.
Why did the voice actors go along with this?
They didn't have a choice. They're taking the work. They want to keep things good with, I want to say, Toei. Toei is the animation company behind this. They want to get more work from this giant in anime production.
Okay.
Yeah. It's weird.
He's Japanese, right?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't hear that much about, like, far-right fascism in Japan.
Shinzo Abe was, like, Trump before Trump was Trump.
I feel like everyone says that in retrospect, but, like, was he?
Yeah,
I
mean, Shinzo Abe was, like, a huge, like, right-wing nationalist.
Nationalism's one thing.
Like, I mean, I think
this dude is beyond the pale.
Modern fascism, I think, is a little different than a leader for a country with a contentious history saying stuff like, you know, I think it's up for debate whether or not Japan did war crimes in World War II.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that about Shinzo Abe.
still fucked up, not quite like we should be doing more war crimes like right. Donald Trump was advocating.
It almost
for.
Has nothing to do with like fascism. It's more like getting into the nationalism that could very well be on either side of the political spectrum.
Not me going to bat for Shinzo Abe, by the way. That dude sucks. Get him out of there, Japan.
He is out of there. He resigned.
He's out of there.
Yeah,
he's done.
Yeah, he had some health problems and he resigned.
Hey.
I don't know anything about the guy that took his place.
Did somebody? Or, nah, I don't know. Joe's what I know.
Yeah, you weeb. You don't even know who the current prime minister of Japan is. Fake weeb.
Kill the prime minister of Malaysia.
What?
Was that racist? Or what was that? Was it just funny? Because it is funny.
What? What are you talking about?
Oh, you guys never seen Zoolander?
Oh!
That's Mugatu, played by Will Ferrell's whole shtick, is that he really wants to kill the prime minister of Malaysia. Was it just... I mean, I know it was due to like sweatshop labor and stuff like that, because he's a fashion piece of shit, but like... I don't know. Was there anything bad with that? Because it is just kind of funny if it's just, this random fashion designer just really wants to assassinate the prime minister of Malaysia.
For Will Ferrell's sake, I'm going to assume the latter.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan. He dresses up as a little girl in a brainwashing machine so that he can try to convince a stupid male model to kill the prime minister of Malaysia. It's kind of funny. It makes no sense. It's kind of funny. Oh, man.
And then last but not least, the news we have been building towards. The only news that matters this week. Not really, but for dramatic effect, I'm going to say that. We got a new trailer for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stone Ocean, coming out this December.
And the crowd goes mild.
Yeah. No, people listening to this are losing their shit right now.
I can hear them in the future.
Once this goes live in like an hour and a half, you're going to hear it 40 minutes after that. There'll be a disturbance. A couple of stray thoughts from my end. Apparently it's premiering on Netflix with some kind of... Well, we actually have no clue what the release structure is going to be. This show needs to be at least 36 episodes long, and there's no way they have all of those ready to go to drop at once, so not sure what's going to happen there. Where's Dio's boyfriend, Poochie? Why isn't he in there? He's the main antagonist. Get him in there.
Poochie Watch 2021.
Yeah! He's thick and horny. Get him out there.
He is thick and horny.
This looks amazing, and I'm glad they're going with the Araki original color palettes instead of the digital color palettes that are, I think, a little more commonly distributed. Why did they change Weather Report's name to Weather Forecast? That band knew what they were signing up for when they chose the name Weather Report. Come on. It's not... You can argue in court, that's not even a reference, you know? Just like, oh, his name's Weather Report. His powers, he can control the weather. What? Come on. What band?
Are there, like, common legal fights in JoJo's?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
yes.
of all the fucking names and references?
The names, once they go to anime, once they become an anime, they almost always have to be changed. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's stupid. See, I go back and forth on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I don't have any particular opinions of it myself because I've never seen more than one episode, which was awful. But
same.
For a long time, I thought people liked JoJo's because they thought it was good, and I just didn't think it was good. And then as time went on, I started to change that opinion, and I thought that people liked it ironically, that everyone was in agreement that this is bad, this is not a good show, not good characters, that it was just funny because it was bad and everyone watched it ironically. And now I'm starting to come back around to my original conclusion that people do actually like this show and think it is good.
Yeah.
That it's compelling. And that it, they don't like it because it's funny and dumb. They actually just unironically like it.
I mean, I know you don't think I count as people, but I like it unironically.
But I can never actually tell. Like, you say
right,
that.
That's what someone, yeah. That's what someone who does like it ironically
yeah, exactly.
would say
yeah.
as a cover.
Like...
No, man, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And then invent some, like, fabricated, like, overly wordy, like, video essay about why it's really, really good.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was actually no running naming convention involving bands. If that was just a thing you made up because it's stupid and funny.
Trying to get away with it, yeah.
I wish I was talented enough to make that up.
Okay. Let's not worship people for naming people after bands.
Last two. Okay, I get that they had to change Anasui's name to Narcisio Anastasia. But they better validate the gender fluid fan theory. They got that built into their power set. Come on. It's easy. Go for it. And then lastly, if Foo Fighter's name is permanently shortened to FF, like that's how she's introduced, she is never referred to as Foo Fighters, I will personally become the Foo and fight Dave Grohl.
Wow.
They don't have a choice.
Yeah, wait. Yeah.
Like, these bands have to protect their copyright. If they allow people to infringe on it, then they lose their copyright.
Universally beloved Dave
yeah,
Grohl.
Dave Grohl, genuinely good guy.
Yeah.
Like, by all accounts,
right?
Genuinely good person.
Yeah.
Drove down on a disco truck to make fun of the Westboro Baptist Church this weekend. Like, everyone loves Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Probably if it was literally up to him, he'd be fine with it, but it literally isn't unless he wants to lose the Foo Fighters copyright.
My counterpoint to that would be that Foo Fighters is Best Girl.
Mm.
Case closed.
Yeah, no, I see.
Yeah.
You're making a lot of cogent arguments.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I cannot be wavered by... appeals to, I don't fucking know enough about pathos or whatever the fuck, logos.
This is definitely an ethos claim.
This is an ethos?
I think this is a little more of a Westeros claim. I don't know. Yeah.
Making a really strong Essos push.
Maybe even a little bit
what
of a
Southros. it's called Sothros.
Oh, no.
Oh.
There is a Sothros. It's very, very rarely talked about, and it's just Africa. Like, they're just like, there's big cats there, and weird long-necked animals, and the people there have dark skin. And it's just like, okay, so it's just Africa. We're literally just talking about Africa. Okay, yep, we get it.
Anyway, I am very excited about this, and get ready, everybody, for me to get back on my JoJo's bullshit, because anime is good again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucas confided in me on, what was it? Was it Friday? When was it? You were just like, Ryan, anime's bad.
Yeah. No, it was Friday. It was over Chipotle.
Anime's...
That's a quick turnaround.
Anime's not good. No, he's snip, snap, snip, snap. He's... And the problem is that he really defends it to the nth degree either way. Like, he's like, when he says it's bad, he's like, and I think it always was bad. Or, like, when it's good, he's just like, it's so good.
Jesus Christ.
So.
I mean, we know from history that great pieces of media can be produced from bad environments, and maybe that's just what happened with the anime that I like. But now we're getting a JoJo's Part 6, and that's dumb. That's dumb for me to say that. This medium is great, because it gave us, is going to give us, JoJo's Part 6.
If JoJo's Part 6...
Yeah?
...is not very good...
Uh-huh.
Okay. Lucas does not have the ability to say that it's not good. We thought that about the last Bravely Default game that he played, and we were wrong. I don't think Lucas can say that JoJo's is bad.
So, fortunately,
You've already said that some additions are not as good as others. Mm-hmm. You've admitted to that.
Yeah.
So now let's just say, hypothetically... Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, of course, that this JoJo's Bizarre Adventure edition was, let's just say, the worst JoJo's Bizarre Adventure edition, which you could then make an argument, of course, that it is actually bad. It is objectively bad. Can we not agree on that, hypothetically speaking?
Well, fortunately, Ryan, similar to Andrew, there was a Last of Us Part 2 situation going on with JoJo's Part 6, where a lot of people don't like it because it focuses on a lot of female characters. So just like Andrew, I can now say, wow, okay, way to agree with a bunch of misogynists. Good for you.
It's a painful position to be in,
yeah.
But it is my position. For all the opposite reasons of the misogynist, I'm going to go ahead and at least throw that out.
Oh.
At least there's that, but...
No, Part 6 is definitely going to be weird, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Is it misogynist to say that, like, a lot of the joy of JoJo's is the homoeroticism?
And no, that's still there.
Is... Yeah, but it's different. Are we not allowed to say it's different? Sorry.
Maybe if it's women,
we're not allowed to say that.
I think it's still homoerotic if it's...
Oh, it can! Yeah. Like, we all know that, yes, definitely, technically, that is the same in terms of... Like, homoeroticism applies to both women and men, but, like, also can agree that there is a difference and that, like, female homoeroticism is always going to be more accepted by mainstream society...
That's
than
true.
Male homoeroticism, and like there is that element of like, no, this was kind of my thing, like I really appreciated the guy on guy homoeroticism that is now just kind of being co-opted by a bunch of horny dudes that are like, oh, chicks are making out.
Thankfully, Ryan,
it's not the same.
Thankfully, Dio's boyfriend Poochie packs so much homoeroticism into his priestly body.
Such a large package.
I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying that in his introduction, he does the thing where he ties a cherry stem together. Like, yep, we know what this dude's about. We know what's up.
That is a sign of a good piece of media. When they use a tired trope like tying a cherry stem, meaning... that they're horny and have a lot of sex.
Yeah, he and Dio probably fucked.
I thought he was his
boyfriend. Yeah, you said he was his boyfriend.
We don't know how far along they got.
Wow, Lucas, this is very problematic.
Well, okay, no, Dio did give Poochie a bone, so that was probably a metaphor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If this is a show where... it's just dripping with.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Erotic.
I'm not interested in
guy-on-guy action.
If these guys are having metaphorical sex.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're having metaphorical sex, Lucas.
Poochie's entire motivation in this story is to get over the grief of Dio dying and then hold Jotaro accountable for that. You don't develop that strong of a feeling without hooking up with somebody, I think. Hot take. Don't cancel me, please. So, yeah, they boned at least once.
They were waiting for marriage.
If they were, Poochie could have officiated.
Poochie's a priest?
Yeah.
Priest Poochie.
I don't think that you can marry yourself. Is that... I don't know if that's true.
I mean, well...
Can you marry yourself? Can you officiate your own wedding?
That's a Google search.
Probably not, right? I think you probably can.
Oh, top result.
Oh, Colorado and DC allow self-solemnizing marriages.
Yep.
Without any separate application or conditions. Okay. Oh, Wisconsin allows it without question.
Oh.
Yeah.
It does require a form to be signed acknowledging the government cannot guarantee a self-uniting marriage will be acknowledged in all contexts.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
It's starting to sound a little sketchy. Yeah, yeah, that sounds like a big asterisk.
Yeah, wait, it says...
Yeah, you can do it. You might not be married. It says... We might just not say you were married.
The way that it specifically says, it allows it without question, but it doesn't...
But there is a question, it sounds
possible
like.
Possibly multiple questions.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, you can get married, totally. No, 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 without a doubt, you can get married. You might not be married in our eyes. Like, we might not see you as married, but, like, that's
you can
it.
Say, you can other than that. You can tell people that you're married.
Yeah. Without question, you can tell people that me and this other person are married.
Especially if you're a black man and a vampire, yeah, we will. Good for you too, but not in the eyes of the court.
So Poochie always is able to marry himself.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
fair.
All right.
Also, can priests get married?
I mean, not Catholic priests, but
Poochie doesn't count.
I mean, well,
he gets his own rules.
He loves Dio like he loves God. Are you not allowed to marry God? Come on.
Dio is God.
Yeah?
That's fair. If Dio is canonically God, then I suppose
he's
got six legs to stand on.
Hey. All right.
Count them. Count them. Do the math.
Hey. Yeah, they're both hung. All right, that'll just about do it for the... News of the Week section. We are headed into the group chat after a short intermission that'll probably edit out.
Hopefully. I wish I could retell your joke, Lucas, but I don't think it's ever going to land the same as it landed on me while I was choking down salt water in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
I mean, I kind of ripped it off from Andrew, but...
Oh!
Wait, are we talking about the old joke, or which one are we talking
about? Yeah!
I was on fire. Okay.
What? Oh, no. That wasn't ripped off from Andrew?
Well, no. He had said earlier in our text message, I hope the beach doesn't make you guys old. Or something to that effect, yeah.
So that's why it was fresh in your mind. Yeah. I might have missed Andrew's message. Oh, that's why it hit that hard.
We were out.
We were choking on salt water as we got tossed around by
the wake,
Probably 10-foot waves. Like, no joke, they were pretty... massive waves. And I looked back at the beach to see if, like, maybe Angel or Ian were, like, filming us, taking some pictures, joking around. And I couldn't see them. And I was like, oh no! Angel and Ian, they're gone! And there's something to the effect of, like, oh no, they're old! Or, God damn it. See, I even fucked up the delivery.
Oh no! Did the beach make them old?
Yeah, it was something like that. And I lost my shit. Because it seemed like Lucas just made an M. Night Shyamalan's old reference, just plucked it out of thin air, like out of absolutely nowhere.
No,
but
much like everything else in life, Lucas was ripping off Andrew.
Wow!
He ripped off my whole fucking flow, word for word, bar for bar.
Yeah. Well, damn! Now you ruined it for me too. In addition to. All of my retellings.
Oh. Damn. Andrew, what did you finally watch?
Rick and Morty.
Hey.
Although, didn't we miss... Wasn't there an episode half hour ago?
Yeah. I assume not that one.
No, not that one.
Okay.
No, but I did finally watch the Thanksgiving and the Gotron episode of Rick and Morty. I thought the Thanksgiving episode was pretty funny. It was a decent concept. It felt almost like a South Park episode to me, though. It didn't feel grounded in a concept the way that a lot of Rick and Morty episodes do to me. It was just like the president revealing out of nowhere, like, oh, actually, the Pilgrims and Native Americans were just two warring alien factions, and there were giant Tyrannosaurus turkeys. Like, it was funny, but more of like a one laugh that's kind of random funny instead of like the Rick and Morty, like really the normal deep cutting kind of humor that they have a lot of the time. But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty funny. It just felt a little different than a lot of their other episodes. And then the Gotron episode, it's Power Rangers mixed with goddamn Goodfellas. Yeah, like I don't know. Like it, obviously it was funny at different points. It made me laugh. I just, looking back on it, I was just like, man, I don't know about that one. Wasn't as bad as some of the other ones this season, though.
Right.
Yeah.
I can kind of agree with that. I thought that that was one of the most aggressively mediocre episodes, and I did kind of like the Thanksgiving one. I've realized that so much of my enjoyment of Rick and Morty is based on how much I buy the concept in the first 2 minutes. Like, it really just is. Like, if I'm just like, okay, this is going to be fun. Like, when fucking Mr. Nimbus comes out of nowhere and is just like, Mr. Nimbus. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm in. Like, Rick freaking out over the fact that they land in the ocean, like, on Earth, like, is kind of fucking awesome. And, like, I'm like, I'm in. And, like, for some reason, the, like, I don't know, the National Treasure ripoff and, like, all this shit. Like, it just, I was in, you know? Like, I do have to kind of buy in those first, in that cold open.
Oh, before the credits. They definitely lost me though in the Gotron episode. I mean, like I was always on the fence, but
the fucking
when they brought
incest,
when they brought back the incest,
they can't drop
it. I was like, oh, God. I think once they brought up the incest baby, the rest of the episode was very like, just not funny.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That incest baby has a name, and it is Naruto. Be respectful.
Yeah. Speaking of like random plot threads coming out of nowhere, a la South Park. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Summer working in a secret government facility on Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been a bunch of different episodes this season where it just feels like they had a couple of different ideas that didn't become full fleshed out episodes, and they just kind of slapped a few of them together. Like the Rick's car / Hellraiser episode, I think like was perfectly demarcated, where I was like, man, this is an equal A and B plot right now that seemed like they were both just supposed to be the B plots for episodes, but didn't make it. And they just slapped them together to make one episode. The Gotron / incest baby episode kind of felt like that too.
So it kind of sounds like you are enjoying episodes more that have solid A and B plot and not ones that
they don't even have to have a B plot.
Yeah. Okay. Or they could just be one solid plot.
Well, like, but like, Brian, I know you didn't care for it. Did you care for, Andrew, did you care for the decoy
clone episode? Yeah.
The decoy episode? Yeah, I actually did.
Okay.
I really liked the decoy
episode. That was all one. Yeah, there was no B plot for that one.
Fair.
I do kind of agree, and you could see it as like a, they had to fucking pump out 70 episodes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they don't have room to throw away ideas anymore.
And they probably got told, like, yeah, you guys can't take 3 years in between seasons again. Definitely not doing that.
It's probably why there isn't a mid-season break this time around. They got to crank this shit out. Yeah, fair. Ryan, what are you checking out?
Watch the first episode of a documentary called Cocaine Cowboys. It's bad. Don't watch it. I was at a meeting with, like a networking thing with other people, and they were just like, I'm going to watch Cocaine Cowboys. And I was like, I'll watch Cocaine Cowboys too to like be in the know and have a thing to talk about next time. And then I was like, wow, this is really bad. This is a really bad documentary. It was the type of documentary where it's like, cuts to some guy and he's just like, no, you see, like, I was the enforcer. We went and I flew the plane, and then sometimes the government would come in, and then it cuts to video footage and pictures while he's talking, and then it cuts to the next guy who's like, yeah, no, I was in charge of logistics, and I'm age of, and then cuts to more random video and B-roll, and then it's just
a generic crime documentary.
Yeah.
Like, there's no personality at all, and it's like, why the fuck am I watching this? So, It wasn't telling a narrative so much as just having a bunch of people talk about what they did in the 80s.
In the 80s was cocaine.
A lot of it.
Have you met back up with those coworkers yet?
Nah.
Let me know. Please let us.
No, I'm going to tell them it's bad.
Please.
They didn't say, I love it so much, it's my favorite thing, because it was coming out. He was going to watch it that night. He was like, oh, I'm going to watch Cocaine Cowboys. I've seen a lot of documentaries on them, but this is like the new one, and it's from Netflix, so maybe it'll be good. So
please let us and the audience know what they thought of it. That would be fun, I think.
Yep.
Last but not least, I am nearly done with The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. It's okay. It's fine. A couple of dungeons are a lot of fun. I think the motion controls for combat are an interesting idea, even if they don't work super well for traversal. I realize the game does not have a fast travel feature, which is bizarre for a pseudo open world game that came out in 2011. Why would they do that? And also, there are dragons in this game. Always goes back to dragons. Tying it back to dragons. Their designs are awful. What if, like, a serpentine dragon...
Yeah, me too.
Oh. What if, like, a serpentine dragon, but then a human face? I don't like it.
Oh, yeah, this looks fucked. Yeah.
Which one are you looking at? What's the wiki page?
I'm seeing Pharaon.
Yeah, there's a blue one, there's a yellow one, and there's a red one. They're wearing clothes.
Yeah.
They have hands.
Yeah.
If you...
Oh, boy. Doesn't take long to get to fan art.
Oh, no. God, that
makes sense.
This is awful.
Legend of Zelda is usually such an aesthetically pleasing game. I don't know how this decision happened.
They really had to fuck it up.
Yeah.
They really had to do it to him.
And I know this is a fairly common criticism of Zelda games where it's the forces of good gating things off until you prove you're actually worth their help. More so, is delaying your progress more so than Ganon or any of the evil stuff? And that is really apparent in this game. There is so much padding to the point where the second dragon that I met, there's a whole like stealth section leading up to him, and in my mind, I budgeted the time in my evening for, okay, I can get through like the last little bit of this, then I'll meet the dragon, then it'll give me a quest or something to do, and then I'll get like the whatever MacGuffin I get from him. And I was just shocked when I just met with him for the first time, and he was like, oh, hey, cool job getting to me. Here you go. Here's the item you need. And like, what? No, that's not how this game works. Pacing is supposed to be, I'm supposed to deal with you for 45 minutes is how this game works. It's odd.
Huh.
And then I'm still not getting any of the lore I actually want out of what is supposed to be the first in-timeline Zelda game.
But the lore! The lore, my dude.
This is where the Master Sword comes from. Zelda is the reincarnation of a goddess. Cool. What's the deal with the Gorons? Where did they come from? That's what I want to know.
This is the most important part of the lore for Lucas.
Yeah. We're all the races.
What are Koroks? Are they sentient? Do they have thoughts and feelings?
I think so. I think the Koroks come from. Oh God! What are the Arena of Time.
I mean, I was asking as though they don't answer that question.
Oh no, they don't in this one, but I think it's implied in other games that they used to be a race of, like, Peter Pan Forever children, and they eventually just evolved into forest spirits.
Oh.
Or maybe evolved. I don't know. Maybe that's a step up for them, evolutionarily.
Does the lore in Skyward Sword answer if all the Gerudo are female and have to venture out to find a male of another species to breed with, then why are they still Gerudo several thousand years later and not just another species?
I mean,
why is Gerudo DNA so pliable and able to be combined with so many other species?
Why does Gerudo DNA just ignore the DNA of whatever the male was?
I don't know. Magic. And you know what? Yeah, that's what it comes down to for me. This is a series where magic is real. That's all they need to say. Because magic.
I mean, it's fucking lame.
Kinda.
They don't need to fuck if they can magically have kids. Yeah.
They don't need genitals. There's no need.
If the Gerudo are hot, that'd be a waste for everybody.
And now you're getting to why they don't just use magic.
Yeah, fair. Because Rule 34, that's why.
Oh.
Is that what they're thinking of when they write these games? But what about the poor, beleaguered Rule 34 fan artist? Yeah. Won't anyone ever give them a shot?
If we can't
allow a Lynel to be drawn fucking a Goron, then what even is the point of making this game, people?
Actually, you know what? Gorons are probably one of the few races in that game sturdy enough to, like, handle a Lynel. That's fair.
Handle.
Also, it is the... There's a motorcycle going by. I'm sorry. It is the Kokiri in Ocarina of Time that eventually turn into the Korok. I think. I buy that fan fiction.
You drew those conclusions?
Well, it's kind of implied in Wind Waker that happened, because there are I don't think they're called Koroks, but they are like plant people in that game. And then you go to a temple to learn from our ancestors, like this song that you need to save the world or whatever. And then it is a Kokiri, like, humanoid thing that appears in that temple. So,
gotcha.
I think that's...
Have you played every Zelda game?
No, actually. I have not played Zelda 2, Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages, I want to think it's called. I want to say it's called Spirit Tracks, or the... There's another one with, like, a Temple of the Ocean King, but I haven't played that
one
either.
I've never even heard of it.
Phantom Hourglass. There we go.
Never even heard of any of the games that you haven't played.
I've heard of Spirit Tracks.
Just Hero of Trains! Because
it's the most dumb fucking concept I've ever heard.
Hero of Trains.
Hero of Trains. Goddamn. To derail the Zelda conversation a bit, I forgot to mention, so since I'm trapped in this little room for the foreseeable future, and have been for the last week, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's one-to-one, I hooked up my PlayStation 4 to my work monitor and tried playing a handful of games that I had not given a chance before, that I had downloaded off of PlayStation Plus a long time ago, including Bioshock. Rise of the Tomb Raider. Rise of the Tomb Raider fucking sucks. I started playing that game because I heard a lot of people say, like, oh, if you like the Uncharted games, you'll like Tomb Raider. I'm like, oh, awesome. Like, I'm excited. And I played about 2 hours of that game, and I just couldn't play it anymore because it was so boring, the acting was so bad. It didn't feel like there was a point to anything. And they put really deep RPG mechanics in a game that does not need them. They just really don't feel like they belong. But that game has three tutorials. There's a moment, you start out the game and you're climbing up a mountain, and that goes on for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then it cuts to 3 weeks earlier. And then there's another tutorial where it's like, oh, you're raiding a tomb in Syria to start, you know, your dad went crazy and you're trying to follow in his research and that sort of shit. And then you find out the big bad guys that are doing stuff. And then after like 15 minutes, it cuts back to the mountain where you were. I thought it would be like, oh, this is late in the game. And then I'm going to spend the next several hours working my way back to where I was at that point. No, you climb a mountain, cuts to 3 weeks earlier, you spend 15 minutes in Syria, and then it cuts 3 weeks in the future, and then you're just back to where you were. And it's pointless. Just not fun, doesn't look pretty, voice acting is really bad, gameplay is super clunky. I'm just disappointed. I thought I was going to have fun with that game. And then Bioshock. I played about the first hour of Bioshock, and I'm like, man, this is pretty fun. And then it glitched out because the guy said, ooh, use your lightning power to shock the water. And I did that, and it just froze the game. And I couldn't get it to start back up, and I had to turn my PlayStation off. And when I turned it back on, it just didn't save. Even though, like, it made a point of saying, oh, when you pass the Vita chambers, that's the autosave feature, and if you die, you'll spawn back there. And I passed, like, four of those, and it just started me at the very beginning of the game, so. And I'm like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah. I was curious if you had a similar end to me, but it sounds like you didn't quite get quite as far to see where you were just like, I can't do this. Ooh. In these conditions.
Tough it up.
The way that the world is right now, I don't think I can accomplish what this game wants me to do.
Tough it out, Andrew. See if Ryan was valid for dropping it then.
No.
Yeah, it's when you're introduced to the little sisters, and I was just like,
I'm good.
I'm done here.
I don't know. That definitely wasn't fun.
Oh, you got to that point? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you had to, like, either rescue one kill them.
Oh,
okay, never mind then. You didn't get that point. I guess I did encounter some, and you could either kill them or run away and stuff. But, yeah, like, there is a point where you have to start making ethical decisions, and it's so dark, and it's so, like, dreary and, like, hopeless, and it's just like, in a global pandemic. I guess I could maybe revisit it now where, like, I'm 99% sure that the world is ending / might have already ended. Like, maybe I'd be more cool with it. Like, it'd be kind of fun. Just, like, I feel like I laugh about it now more often than not when I talk about how I'm, like, pretty sure the world's ended. So, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I know that it is about time to end episode 151 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will almost certainly be titled Chibo's the Next Big Thing. If you enjoyed what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for highlight clips. ActBlue link in the description down below if you want to help a collection of great progressive causes. Support us on Patreon if you want to help us keep the lights on. Enjoy the likes of the terrific Tiffany Cole, Sucky Badger, and Sensual Richard Nixon. Also, see us do podcasts live on video. Sometimes, apparently, we're trying that out. Andrew liked it. Andrew's silence is deafening.
I didn't know that I was supposed to give, like, a testimonial.
You could have said yeah.
I laughed.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was good.
All right. I'm glad.
Good chemistry when 2/3 of the gang gets together in a room.
We're gonna have to unpack that.
It is a lot easier.
It's electric. You can feel it.
You can definitely, like, it is a reminder of how powerful, like, just vibes are.
Yeah.
Like, vibes are kind of lost in Zoom, and they're fucking real, man. Like, we are, what's it called? instinct-driven animals at the end of the day, and there are subtle cues that you can't really pick up on because we didn't evolve over millions of years to chat on a video webcast. Like, yeah, it is a lot easier to bounce off people.
Also, be sure to email us your questions and business opportunities, voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter for updates @v2_podcast. And lastly, follow me @LucasDeRyder on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing. Thank you all so much for listening, and good luck with your week. We'll be right back.